In the wake of a recent Supreme Court decision impacting homeless rights, there's a heightened focus on the legal and ethical implications surrounding homelessness policies across the nation. The ruling has sparked debate about the treatment of vulnerable populations and the role of local ordinances in addressing homelessness. Let's bring in Lisa Chapman, Director of Public Policy for the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness, for her thoughts on the Supreme Court ruling. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, bring our listeners up to date on this court decision regarding Grants Pass, Oregon.
Sure. So the case focused on whether the enforcement of laws regulating camping on public property constituted cruel and unusual punishment prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. So in response to the homeless crisis in Grants Pass, Oregon, the city implemented a local ordinance, and this goes back years, imposing steep fines on anyone sleeping on city land with a pillow or a blanket, even though there were no adequate shelter alternatives available. So this case wound its way through the courts and made its way to the Supreme Court this year, and the ruling just came down on Friday that upheld the city's complaint and allowed them to continue ticketing and fining people that were living outside with no other alternatives.
So here in Michigan, I mean, what are some of the key challenges that homeless folks can face that could be exacerbated by rulings similar to the Grants Pass ruling?
Sure. So unfortunately, we had in 2022, 32,000 Michiganders who were unhoused, homeless, throughout the course of the year. And unfortunately, we don't have enough shelter across the state for everyone. So that's a problem. So that's why potentially you're seeing people who camp year-round or live in their cars. And so the other key thing to know is that we have a severe shortage of affordable housing, not just in Michigan, but around the country. But also with rents increasing, you know, double-digit percentages, people are not able to afford rent, and so they lose their housing. They become evicted. They double up with family or friends, and it's really challenging. So we need to focus on solutions that will help people get housed. Bailing or finding people has not helped anyone get into housing. In fact, it causes additional barriers to people. And not only that, it's jailing and finding folks is also counterproductive and a waste of taxpayer funding.
This decision only affects the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, so that's like California and Western states. But obviously, this is going to influence places like Michigan. And, you know, it hasn't yet, but it will. Correct, Lisa?
I think so. I think that municipalities are watching this and will take note. Hopefully, Michigan, we will get, you know, our partners and messaging out so that people are aware that there are better alternatives. A study was done in Florida back a couple years ago where they kind of evaluated the cost of jailing and fining and criminalizing homelessness. It was about $31,000 a person, mm-hmm. and the cost to house somebody was a little more than $10,000. So we know that it's more cost effective to get people into housing. It helps communities be safer, and it's also more humane, and it's better for everyone if people are inside and housed. It's healthier. So hopefully Michigan communities will partner with their homeless response systems to take the approach of providing housing and services and interim settings like shelter to people rather than putting them in jail or fining them, because that makes it harder for people to get into housing.
Yeah, I think from an empathy standpoint, I don't think punishing people gets you anywhere. But Lisa, I mean, I've watched this in Grand Rapids. I've watched it in San Diego, where there are shelters and there are alternatives. And yet some people don't avail themselves of that. At what point does the city have a right to say, well, we still need to control what happens in our business district and near residential housing that may be downtown, and we can't have people, you know, being accosted when they go down there to do business? And that sometimes happens. So don't municipalities have rights here too, even when in good faith they offer temporary housing?
Sure, and not everybody wants to come into a shelter for various reasons. And everybody has rights. Municipalities and business owners have rights as well. But I think, you know, part of the challenge here is that we need to work together on solutions that are research-backed and proven to be helpful and invest, number one, in housing, but also in services like engagement and street outreach to try to reach those people who have been outside the longest, may have other challenges as well, and really engage them so that they can either get into shelter or get services to help them get some income so that they can afford, you know, to get into housing. And the other thing that we need to do is really invest in things like rental assistance, repair our public housing that we have, invest in a state and national housing trust fund, and avoid evictions and invest in homeless prevention so that if people fall behind on their rent, we can help them out a little bit without having them go into homelessness.
You know, in light of the ruling, what role do organizations and advocacy organizations like yours, you know, what roles do they play in making sure that homeless folks' rights are protected and upheld?
So we work with our legislators. There actually was introduced a homeless bill of rights this session by Representative Emily Diefendorf that talks about some of these very issues where people are forced to move along or, like we're talking about, get fined or jailed. And so, you know, people should all have the same rights to enjoy public spaces. And we need to work as advocates with our partners in the business community, with our elected and appointed leaders, so that we all are working on the same solutions and the same, you know, housing supply that we need to really get to where we need to be, because Michigan is about 190,000 units short of affordable housing across the state. So that's a huge problem that we are working on, and I know our partners at MISHTA and our state departments are working on, but we all need to work together toward those goals.
Say every community goes along these lines. If you're homeless, where are you supposed to go and sleep if there isn't a bed for you?
That's a great question. In every county in Michigan, there is a homeless assessment and resource agency, affectionately known as HARAs. And there's a list if you Google HARA Michigan. So that's the first point of contact for people. It's called coordinated entry. And so people can, or helping advocates or agencies or law enforcement, can partner with these agencies to help people get into either, some have motel money, some put people up for a short time. Some might do negotiation with a landlord to repair a situation where maybe a little bit of rent is due.
Yeah.
Or work with people's families to have those conversations. Do you have somebody that you can stay with? What can we do to help you get housed? And sometimes it's having people reunite with a family member. So
there's 80 different numbers here. I'm looking at that website. There's 80 different numbers. We kind of just need the 211, don't we?
Well, 211 is also,
okay.
But 211 will refer you probably to the HARA.
Okay.
So that's the homeless response system, and they're very well steeped in all the housing assets in the community, and that's the best place to contact.
Good.
As well.
All right. Lisa Chapman, Director of Public Policy for the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
And former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick made an appearance at the Oakland County Republicans event last week. Guess who else was there? Our next guest, ML Elwick from the Detroit Free Press at 735.